We're back from the break. This is Dean Gocher, and what we're talking about today is the dialectical process and its incorporation into our culture through material and men such as Maslow, Abraham Maslow, and his hierarchy of felt needs. In the last half hour, I was covering the Abraham Maslow process, his dialectical process, the immorality that lies behind it. As I referred to his journals, he writes also because of the French Revolution I was explaining and its attack upon a patriarchal paradigm. In other words, any structure or way of thinking that interferes with the natural desire of men to relate with the creation. And therein, that's why he said that nakedness is absolutely right. And this is why you see the perversity. And he writes in his journal, he says that this movement, this orgiastic Dionysian movement, as he called it, he said this movement can be dignified, made respected, you know, dying with dignity. And see, there's a way that seemeth to be right thereof, but the end thereof is the way of death. They just want that death to be dignified, and Apollyon, which means rational, you know. And of course, today, if you come in and you prevent somebody to doing what they think is right because they're thinking to the flesh, you're irrational. And then he said, we can avoid pornography and neurosis and ugliness. Well, and then he says that this has got to apply this to books, more and more and more and more writing. Now, here is the attack. He says, so is the attack on anti-eroticism. See, the Christian and the Jewish foundations. Now, that concept carries with it an attack upon fundamentalism. Now, notice today that is just a negative term. I mean, if you're called a fundamentalist, you're instantly censored. And the reason is because you're irrational. Because now the rational is tied to the flesh. The dialectic is a quote-unquote rational process. And it's a rational process is that it is a process to justify to the hearer or the participator that this patriarchal paradigm is irrational. So setting your mind to things above is irrational if it's not tied to setting your mind on things on the earth. Now, you can set your mind on things above, but the things above are redefined to the things on the earth. And that's the synthesis. And so, anyway, I just wanted to show, as I did the last two segments on the prior week and our program and this first part of this presentation, the immorality of the dialectical process. And you saw in the French Revolution, if you studied it, the immorality that pervaded, and in the Russian Revolution, the immorality that pervaded. Because once you remove godly restraint, parental restraint, from the actions of life, the praxis of life, you, in essence, remove right and wrong thinking. And so everything becomes relativistic. And when everything becomes relativistic, then you have tyranny. And in fact, today we have postmodernism, which means there is no standard. There is no absolute right or wrong. Everything is situational. Now, moving on, Maslow, in Maslow on Management, this was published in 1998. He died in 1971. But they republish his works. He writes, my work on motivations come from the clinic. In other words, they're looking at people who are really troubled. And to explain this further, they were looking for a particular behavior pattern they perceived because they think dialectic. Those who think dialectic always evaluate the environment for what is interfering with what is natural, what is human of the earth, from the environment, for the sake of classifying it to remove it. So he says, my work on motivations from the clinic, Why are people motivated to do things particular ways? Are they motivated because it's natural, or are they motivated because it's not natural? Notice, it's not natural to do something that you don't want to do. It is not natural to do something that would interfere with your desire to approach pleasure. So the motivation then is, why are you motivated? Are you motivated from the environment, which would stimulate approach pleasure, avoid pain? Or are you motivated from some higher authority, a patriarchal voice, who would, in his nature, spiritual, interfere with your nature, temporal? And how did he come to these decisions? He said, from a study of neurotic people in clinics. Now, neurosis, psychological now, neurosis is any person who follows commands internally, or maybe even externally, that's what they're saying, that interfere what is natural, what is normal. Now, there truly are neurotic people, people who have things going on in their head that interfere with their ability to relate with things that are going on around them. But they crossed this over into human behavior, in the sense that if their foundation of normalcy is tied to this approach pleasure avoid pain, and anything that comes in and interferes with a person's natural relationship with nature, then that's neurosis. So when a parent interferes with a child who's writing on the wall and just simply says to the child, cannot, must not, thou shalt not, they're the author, and they use force, they're the authority, and they interfere with that child's natural inquiry to relate with what it is in the environment without replacing that inquiry into something else. Just divert the dopamine. See, I've talked in prior programs about dopamine. And the dopamine is simply the chemical our body it releases because of some event in the environment that's pleasurable. Now, we didn't know it would be pleasurable until the environment affected the nervous system. You touch something, nerves reactivated. Dopamine, because it's a neuron that directly ties to pleasure, the environment and the neuron are directly related. In other words, it's, if it's pleasurable, the pain neuron's not going to be activated. It's the pleasure neuron. And then dopamine is secreted in direct correlation to whatever it was in the environment. And then that activates the next neuron, gets to the brain. The same thing happens within the synaptic gaps in the brain. And the body is naturally desired or responds to approach it. You become, your awareness becomes heightened automatically. You don't have any control over this. This is the autonomic system, the language of the nervous system. And therein, you become aware of the environment. Your muscles are activated in favor of looking in or approaching what it is. And memory is activated because it is your natural aspect of you to remember pleasurable events. Therein, you can either recreate it. If you're not around a pleasurable environment, you can daydream. And daydreaming, or the imagination of the heart. See, the heart of man is deceitful, because you can be doing things that you think are right, you're setting your mind on things on the earth, but are wrong, because you haven't set your mind on things above. And so you can be deceived. You're never deceived because somebody lied to you. You're deceived because you trust them, because you had something to gain from the relationship. What's that? They offered you dopamine. Now, it could simply be the job. Well, you say, what's wrong with working? Ah, but in that job, you're being asked to do things that would counter a voice of restraint from above. And so therein, you're caught in making a decision. Are you going to be patriarchal in your way of thinking? In other words, you're going to say to the boss, no, that's wrong, I cannot do it. Ah, but there goes your paycheck, you know, that bonus. See, stored up money is drug money, because the bonus represents the trip. Why do you take a trip? Good food, sunsets, that's the eyes, the food would be the flesh, eyes, and people respect you. Don't they tend to respect you? The more money you make, the more things you have. Well, there's nothing wrong with those things in themselves, to have things, to enjoy beautiful sunsets and to enjoy food. It's when they counter God's commands. And therein, as an employee under an authority figure who is going to ask you to do that which is wrong, you have to decide to either practice heresy, heuristic change. And why would you change from doing what's right to doing what's wrong, which would bother your conscience, is because you want dopamine. You want the pleasures of this life. So what Freud saw was a neurosis of civilization. Everybody was subject to the higher authority, but internally, subconsciously, they were frustrated because they still had this law of the flesh going on. Paul says, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? And therein, because they obey authority, but internally they're frustrated, they're neurotic. See, and so therefore Paul would be classified as a neurotic person because he has these laws of nature, and yet he's obeying laws that are not of nature, and therefore he's an unnatural man. And so if your child is writing on the wall and you come along and you redirect their nature to something else that they can release that dopamine and continue this love of the creation, you're a healthy parent. But if you interfere with that child with a law that says, no, you cannot, and you bring authority, or the you're the author of it, which is the force, you chasten your child. If they decide to worship the creation, and you're going to say, no, you're not going to worship the creation. You're going to worship the Creator. In this case, you're going to worship me. You're going to worship the ground I walk on. And see, to the world, that sounds, to the carnal world, that sounds barbaric. That is anathema to the lovers of the creation. Because they hate the Creator. Because the Creator says, no, you cannot worship the creation. And according to Freud, those who worship the Creator are the neurotic people. Then he says, because now we've seen this pattern, these patriarchal thinking people are the problem in the world. And it all starts with a home. Because all of social psychology, all of it, folks, deals with home. Marx understood it. A few Bach thesis number 11, he says, once the earthly family... Now, what's the pattern of the earthly family? The child is following their natural inclination, inquiring into the environment for more pleasure that draws them, see, into the environment to learn more. So learning is from the environment, the environmentalism issue. And therein, they're approaching the environment for pleasure and learning at the same time. They're learning things of the earth, ever learning. Then the parent comes along and prevents them, by command and by word, from continuing this self-environment cycle, and therein produces neurosis. And so the family is the one which produces the conscience. So the voice of the parent that interferes with what is natural to the child, then as a child leaves the home, their conscience will bother them if they happen to think about things that the parent had said, no, that's wrong. Or they happen to do things that the parent said, no, that is wrong. Cannot, must not, thou shalt not. A patriarchal system therein produces neurosis in the child. And the child grows up and becomes a legislator or a doctor or a military police. Doesn't matter what profession. Every vocation is now full of neurotic people, according to dialectical thinking. Then he says, Maslow, in Maslow Management, he says, this carry over from the study of neurosis to the study of labor. So now we're in the workplace. There are people who are working for bosses, doing what the boss says to do, even if they don't feel like doing it. You ever had to do something at work that you didn't feel like doing? You know, you'd rather just sit over there and relax for a little while. But no, you know, you got to get your boots on and crawl into the mud and fix something. And the boss says, do it, and you go do it. And you actually might have a biblical attitude of doing your best to the glory of God. And there's other people over there that says, you know what, you're just setting the standards too high, because the boss is going to expect us all to be working at your level, and then nobody's talking to you, because you're neurotic. You're irrational. And so he says, this carryover from the study of neurosis to the study of labor in factories is legitimate. Why? Because the dialectic is now a system that's the law of the land. Work is not about paying the rent anymore. It's about self-fulfillment. So the work must be self-fulfilling. Now, I'm not against that. I really believe you should be doing what the Lord has called you to do. And sometimes you end up, you know, mending tents. But you do it as unto the Lord. And therefore, your fulfillment is spiritual. But they don't understand that, see? Their spirit is human relationship. That's influence. It's interesting, because the word influence means demonic spirits from the stars. So you are influenced in behavior based upon the things in the environment. You are influenced to approach things that are pleasurable. And influence, I guess you could say, it wouldn't be an influence, but the pain factor to avoid. But you're persuaded by that. And see, that's why when the parent chastens the child, they're being persuaded, not influenced. The influence would be the enticement to write on the wall, to disobey the parent. And so he's saying, we need to have an environment of approaching pleasure, avoiding pain. And so when the boss comes in and asks you to go through pain to eventually have some pleasure, and maybe you don't have a lot of pleasure, maybe the boss gets more pleasure from your pain. See how that works? And we can all readily identify with this. I mean, there are days that I have worked. I worked construction for 25 years, my own business and working for others. And there are days that it's just sheer pain. You come home so exhausted, so pain, full of pain, hands full of slivers. And you're going, is it worth it? But you do it. You do it. It's not going to get done unless you do it. But see, now we have a society of approach pleasure, so therefore, and am I against all the comfortable, you know, the right tool for the right job? Nothing wrong with that. But if that is the basis of life, see, if this lust of the flesh, this law of the flesh is the basis of life, if worshiping the creation is the basis of life, lovers of pleasure is the basis of life, then we all face eternal damnation, because we have embraced the system of the world. And see, God says you either love the world or you love me. You can't have two masters. Well, Maslow continues. He says, enlightenment management. Now, the age of enlightenment was simply a rejection of revelation. Revelation would be you're heading to the wall to write on it. You don't think anything about it. You think, you know, my parent gave you a little piece of paper and they said that's good, and you're getting dopamine from writing on it, pleasure from it, and then you look over the wall and you head for it. You don't know any different as a child, and then until the parent comes along and says, no, you can't do that. And so therein you're neurotic, because you obey the parent and you're not able to relate with the creation. You're blinded to your potential. Because your potential is writing on the wall. Your potential is to be expressed in the environment. And so therein, you'll never reach your potential. You simply, if you reach your potential, it's doing what the parent tells you to do, not doing what is natural to you. Therein, when enlightenment came along, is you realize that, wait a minute, my parents prevented me from being my true self. See, that's all Satan got Eve to understand, was God was preventing her from being her own self. Because the tree of knowledge of good and evil was there to make her wise. Therein, it's this dialectical pattern of focusing on your feelings, I ought to be able to touch it. The fear of the authority, not the law, but the authority, and that's, you know, you'll die. That's the punishment. Remember, the punishment, chastening, comes from the authority. And, oh, you won't die, so the authority's gone. And therein, instantly, the author is gone. Which means there's no fear, There's no law. In fact, God's law is irrelevant. It's irrelevant. In dialectical thinking, the parent's law, you can't write on the wall, is irrelevant. You've seen a lot of writing on the walls in the communities. You know, there's still semblance of law. Now it's just to redirect the dopamine, and the town council will have a whole wall downtown dedicated to graffiti. They do this. Oh, that's dialectical thinking. You know, and so enlightenment was to deliver man from revelation, because it's this supernatural, non-natural commands that interfere with what is natural to man. And the Enlightenment used reasoning. It's not reasonable, parent. You know, it's not reasonable, God, because reasoning is always, the mind is tied to looking into the environment that produced the plane. Why pleasure? Why would you bring something into my life, your commands, that would interfere with pleasure, interfere with my nature? You must be my enemy. And so Enlightenment management, Maslow writes, and humanistic supervision can be a brotherhood situation. Oh, we just got rid of the boss. See, what I would do is I would bring the boss and the workers together, tell the boss, now, you have feelings and the workers have feelings. Let's put aside, let's just pretend, let's role play. See, let's just for a while pretend that you're not the boss and you're working for you. And let's pretend that the workers are the boss and do a little role playing there. And then let's say, let's all work together. Let's focus on the brotherhood. See, the fraternity. See, in the American Revolution, we didn't trust the brotherhood. We didn't trust fraternity. Therein, we ended up with inalienable rights. Those are rights to the individual given by a higher authority. No man can put a lien on them. But now we have human rights, which means we're in the brotherhood, the fraternity. And then Maslow writes, partnership is the same as synergy. Wow, what does that mean? Synergy is a word you're going to find even in the church growth movement. Synergy is the amount of energy that is displayed in regards to people putting aside their differences, because everybody comes in the room from prior experiences of neurosis where they've been given commands, and when you're told you can't do something, when you see somebody else you're working with doing it, you're going to tell them they can't do it. And so if I can get you in a consensus, facilitating to a consensus meeting, and that's through dialogue, and I evaluate you first. This is Bloom's taxonomy, was to evaluate. There's a spectrum in this whole thing. There are these people who are patriarchal. And see how much you're willing to move to resolve the given situation from your original position. And you can put that on a ledger sheet. And because I will create situations in the meeting where your interest, your desire for dopamine will be heightened. And then you're going to have your ought to be's. I ought to be able to do something. Now I know your resentment to the voice of the parent, to the voice of God. And then by watching body language where you're willing to compromise to satisfy your oughts, you will negate your thou shalt not. In other words, the parent's voice will become irrelevant in the given situation. And I don't want to push you too far, because your conscience will kick in. And if your conscience kicks in, then you're going to leave the room and we can't have the group hug, because you're not in the group. We want you. We love you. We care about you, you know. This is for the sake of unity, for the sake of the cause. What's the cause? Cosmic unity. See, that's the cause, love of the creation. You're not told that up front. You're just told that we have to solve a problem, but there's a particular pattern we're going to use to solve the problem, and that is to remove you from neurosis. See, therapy is for the normal, Carl Rogers writes. So partnership is the same as energy. In other words, the energy that you're acquiring, you're gaining by the group, you're attaching, you're closer to the objects in the room that are all united in negating a patriarchal paradigm from their life. So it's not so much that you get rid of the parent who might be a tyrant, is you're getting rid of the office of the parent, with everybody else getting rid of the office of the parent, And if you take this into politics, where is the author and the authority in our Constitution? It's the citizen. It comes from the home. And so Marx says, once the earthly family is discovered to be the secret of heaven family, once you realize this chastening and this belief in right and wrong comes from the home, and it's the same pattern that we're facing coming from the true church, and he hated God, he said, then the traditional family must be annihilated. And so instead of going out and shooting the parents, in, like they did in the Russian Revolution, what of the father figure, they will instead get you in a room, have you put aside your differences, which are caused by dad, cannot, must not, thou shalt not, a patriarchal paradigm, same thing that Satan did with Eve in the garden, by getting you to focus on your ought to be's. Because any time you're told you can't do something, your ought to be will come out, well, I ought to be able to. That's your flesh, that's your carnal mind speaking to yourself in regards to what you want in the environment. The environment stimulates. And so if I can get a whole room to do that, I can get every person in the room to practice patricide, the practice of killing the father figure. Now, they're not going to physically kill the dad right there. They're just killing the voice of the dad in them for the sake of the group hug. The environment is the group hug. So the environment that stimulates pleasure, that's the approval of men now, displaces the law of God. Displaces the work of Christ. Oh, you can use the name of Christ even in this. But Jesus said, there are those who say, Lord, Lord, look at all the good we've done. See, all the group hugging, all the caring, all the compassion with mankind. Prophecy even, you know, healing even. Well, the healing came by the word of God, but they're using the word of God for the group hug, for the respect of men, for the love of the creation, the love of pleasure. And Jesus' response is, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. This is a work of iniquity, this synergistic process. Well, we really don't get very far in these sessions. Just time is my enemy. But hopefully you're understanding the work of the dialectical process, this humanistic, cosmic process that began in the garden. Nothing new under the sun. And so I'll close with this again. My name, by the way, is Dean Gocher. Get on my website, authorityresearch.com. Lots of information on this. And I close with this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. That's dialectical thinking. In all your ways acknowledge Him. That's gonna put you on the cross. Pick up your cross. In all your ways acknowledge Him. Then He's the one who directs your path. It is not in you to direct your steps. He is your Father. Obey your loving Heavenly Father.